जय ओम शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् अभयचरणारविन्दं भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महर्षिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम तिलिया प्रविष्ट ओम शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षिल प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामगुंड राधागुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की और प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री 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 गुरु एंड श्री गौर ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री शील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेव गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवा श्रीमद्भागवदाघ्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्स्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतस् अर्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरय तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृष धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहगं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोऽत्र परमो नर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वरैः सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसं मालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमाम यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमज्जुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अदितितीर्षदां तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणं करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारेर्मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमल् गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशां यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മോഹം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം വി ആർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ദിസ് ചാപ്റ്റേഴ്സ് 11, 12, 13, and 14. വി സോ ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ സ്റ്റാർട്ട് സ്പീക്കിംഗ് ടു ഉദ്ധവ ഇൻ ദി സെവൻത് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇസ്നെ ദാറ്റ്സ് വെയർ ഉദ്ധവോപദേശം ബിഗിൻസ് കൃഷ്ണസ് ഡിസ്കഷൻസ് വിത്ത് ഉദ്ധവ ബിഗിൻസ് ഇൻ ദി സെവൻത് ചാപ്റ്റർ ആസ് ഇറ്റ് പ്രോഗ്രസസ് in the 10th chapter Krishna gave the tattvam to Uddhava, which is important. The 10th chapter, the main tattvam Krishna has spoken in that. After talking to about the tattvam, Krishna has spoken 11, 12 and 13th chapter, where you have seen Krishna spoke about bhakti in the 11th chapter, and in the 12th chapter Krishna spoke about the importance of satsangam for in order to develop bhakti. After talking about the 10th chapter, in the 10th chapter where Krishna mentions the mayodide shavahida sodharmesha madashrayaha varnashrama kulacharam agamaatma samajare, Krishna begins with that bhagavata dharmam, how one should execute. That is what, that process was discussed in that 10th chapter in detail, which we saw many weeks. We talked about that chapter, which is a very important chapter in that Ekadasha Skandam. That's where Krishna spoke about the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, and the qualifications of the spiritual master and the qualifications of the disciple. All those things were spoken in that. After that, Krishna, Uddhava asked a question that that he has certain doubts, and those doubts Uddhava raised at that point, at the end of that chapter. Instead of replying the doubts, Krishna went back straight into the question, who has the doubt? That's what you see in the 11th chapter. Krishna did not discuss about the doubts. Krishna spoke, who has the doubt? So that is why Krishna presents the origin of jiva, or the origin of the soul, how the soul has come into existence, and how the soul is affected by various questions. And he says to Uddhava, solution is not answering the doubts. Solution is finding out who has the doubt. So therefore, you will notice a huge shift in that answer from Krishna. When anyone who takes Bhagavatam and looks at it, the question at the end of Uddhava, in the end of 10th chapter, is not, it appears as though it's not been answered. But the reason for that is this, that Krishna has wanted to mention this very clear to us also, that there is no point in answering questions in spiritual life. It is not a subject for discussion. It's not a subject for debate and to find out how the spiritual understanding will come. It comes from, Krishna says, when that ignorance, avidya, goes away from inside, automatically everyone, every living entity has the knowledge inside. The living entity by very nature itself is. That's why when they define Sachidanandam, they say Satya Chitta Anandam, all the three qualities of the soul, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated. That is the nature of the soul, which is there. So there is no questions to be asked. This is Krishna's point. Question is to take away that coverage on the soul, which is in the form of two things he spoke about, avaranam and vikshepam. Covering potency and the deluding potency. When those two things are removed, Krishna says automatically, in a natural way, the knowledge inside will manifest in a person. That's what he spoke about in the 11th chapter. And after that Krishna talked in the 12th chapter, Uddhava, that purity will happen when one takes to the process of salsangam. From salsangam, one gets the understanding of what is proper understanding of the spiritual life, comes from satsangam. And when he gets that understanding, Krishna says the process is very simple. And to explain to that, Krishna spoke about a variety of living entities who purely through the process of satsangam reach the destination or the goal. Not by studying shastram, not by performing penances, not by serving anyone, but purely by satsangam alone, Krishna says they reach that destination. And in that process, Krishna talked about a number, variety of people, isn't it? Sugriva, Hanuman, Raksho, Gajo, Gradro, Vanikpadaha, Vyadaha, Kubjaha, Vrajegopyo, Yajnavatnistadhavare. We have seen each one of them in detail when we went through that chapter. Everybody comes from different situations in this world, isn't it? Everyone comes from different background, different situation. But irrespective of what background they come from, Krishna says, once they take to this process of satsangam and start taking the advantage of the spiritual life, they can eventually reach the destination. Even without the help of shastram, without the help of any other austerities and penances, to stress the point of the importance of satsangam. That is why Krishna has spoken that chapter specifically immediately after the 11th chapter. Then after that, in the 13th chapter, which is the most important chapter, Krishna spoke about what is known as Hamsavidya. Hamsavidya. That means when this question came up, that between the Kumaras and Brahma, Kumaras asked the question that no matter how much we talk about Krishna consciousness, at the end of the day, the mind will go through the senses, through the doors to the world outside. And it will, as soon as it comes into contact with the sense objects, depending on the vasanas inside or according to one's impressions inside, the ragadvesham will develop between the sense objects and the mind. Ragadvesham, attachment and aversion will build up between the mind and the sense objects. When that is created, how do I stop that happening? This was the question from the Kumaras. They come in or mind goes out, in either way. So in answer to that, Krishna spoke what is known as Hamsagita, isn't it? That we have seen. And that very few verses which comes at the end of that Hamsagita, they are very important. In the sense, Krishna says there that the huge verses, there is about, Krishna says there, beginning from 32 to 37 in that chapter, chapter 13. Yo jagare bhiranukshana dharminorthan bhunkte samastakarane hrdi samthal sadrakshan sopne sushupta upasamharade samega smritanvayal trigunavurti drigindriye shaha. Onwards we saw that, we talked about that also before, and he saw the solution. Krishna says drishtim dada pradinivurti, except to take the attention away from the world, there is no other alternative to that. Drishtim tada pratinivarti. Nivarta krishna tushnim bhaved. And when you have taken your attention from the worldly objects, nivarta krishna tushnim bhaved. And be situated within oneself. Nijasukhani bhavo niriha. That nijasukham that one is experiencing here, Krishna says that whatever the external world has to offer, knowing very well the futility of that. The world exists because we exist. That's why the world exists. If awareness is not inside, if we are not conscious of our own existence, our own awareness, this world doesn't exist for us. The world is existing because we are existing. So Krishna says there, shift your attention from the world to person who is seeing this world. Who is? This is the point Krishna is keep bringing it back again. Drishtim dada pradinivurti nivurta krishna tushnim bhaved. and be situated in that state, nicha sukhanubhavo niriha, that then you will understand, Krishna says, that this so-called world and these experiences of the world are all false. It has no meaning. Because you are there, you find that as though real. It's your presence that's more important than the existence of the objects. Or shifting the attention from the object to the self. That is what Krishna spoke about, isn't it? And then he said, Sandrishyade kwaja yadidam avastha buddhya tettam brahmayana bhavel smriti anipatad. When that is practiced properly, Krishna says, avastha buddhya tettam brahmaya. This buddhi, which is causing this brahmam. Brahmam means this perplexion of this world. Variety of objects, variety of living entities, and variety of attachments, variety of aversions, various kinds of connections with this world, which has come through the mind and through the mental, through the chitavritti that has happened. He says, it will go away. Kuchi edidam avastu buddhyam tektam brahmaya. Because these vastus don't exist. They are vastu, called vastu. Avastu buddhya tektam, give up that brahmaya. The brahmam will go. Na bhaved smriti anipadad. And the smriti and the memory of that will go back into... So, it will go back to the soul. So, so long as the material body is there, in the previous samskaram, that will come, but it will remain as a dream only. It will not become any more disturbed person. It will remain as a dream. We have seen all that. And then later on, Krishna said, Dehobi, that is important. Deva vashakam, khalu karmayaval, swarambagam, pradisamikshadam eva sasum, tam saprabanjam, adhiruda samadhi yogam, Swapnam punarna bhajade pratibuddha vastu. Important words there. There he says, Deham dehobi deiva vashagam ghalu karmayaval. That this body, dehobi deiva vashagam, it is subjected to certain law. It didn't come by fluke or by chance. It didn't happen. Dehobi deiva vashagam. That is Krishna's arrangement. Krishna has certain setup, certain control on this. What kind of body one should get, where one should get the body, under whose parents, and this and what species, all these things are decided by higher law. Dehobi deiva vashagam, khalu karmayavad, and that is based on the karma, khalu karmayavad. Then, swarambagam pratisamikshadame vasasu. Then, therefore, Krishna says there, that because the situation is like that, then he cannot escape from that very easily. He cannot escape from that very easily. That till he reached that state, what is that? Tam saprabanjam adhiruda samadhi yogam swapnam punarna bhajade pratibuddha vastu. So once he has reached that, this is very important, that is it possible to realize the self while within that body? That's what's answered there. Krishna is saying, while living within this body, you have to get out of this body. This is the whole trick behind it, or the whole secret behind it. While living in this body, you have to escape from this body. And so that you don't have to come back here again and accepting another body. Generally, our attachment to the body is such that even after we are driven away from the body, the soul wants to come back to this body again and wants to enjoy this body because of the attachment, bodily understanding that has come to it. So that's why it's said, then tam saprabanjam adhirudam samadhi yogaha. Yeah, if you could move a little bit to the front, please. Tam saprabanjam adhiruda samadhi yogaha. Then swapnam munarna bhajate pratibuddha vastu. Krishna says there that just like a person, when he wakes up from his dream, he doesn't think about the dream anymore because he knows it was a dream, isn't it? He knows it was a dream, so he doesn't bother. He knows only in the dream all this has happened. Similarly, when a person becomes self-realized, then he knows that this body is also another dream that has gone through in his life. And all the attachment, aversions or activities while within this body also remains like a dream for him when he realizes the truth. That's what he says here. Deham dehobi deiva vashakam ghalu karmayaval swarambhagam pratisamikshadam eva sasum tam saprabanjam adhiruda samadhi yogam Swapnam munar na bhajate pratibuddha vastu. Therefore, because he has seen the vastu, what the truth is, what he is, when he has understood what he is, then he knows he is not this body. That is how two things happens at the same time. First, he comes to know what he is. That's number one. Number two, then he realizes he is not this body. These two things are happening at the same time. So that is what that 13th chapter has spoken about. There, we have also seen there another important thing that Krishna talks about there, that the Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states of existence, it comes continuously and he is under the control of that. That is what that 29th verse has spoken there, that Jagrat, Swapna, Sushuptanja. Krishna says there, 27, Jagrat, Swapna, Sushuptanja, Gunado, Buddhivrittayaha, Tasam, Vilakshano, Jiva, Sakshityena, Vinishchida. Then he said in the 29th verse, Ahangarakritam Bandham. Ahangaram or false ego is the cause of this bondage. Atmano anartha vibhayam vidvan nirvidya samsaram chindam turiye sthitastejet. He says there that he has to come to the platform of the turiya stay turiyam avastha. Therefore the other three states will not have any effect on influence on him. Sridharajari Swamiji says about that here, that in his Bhashyam commentary, ahangarena kritam bandham atmano artha vibhayam anandadhi adharena arhadum vidwan janas sannidhi vidya dusameda iti nyatva turiye stito bhutva samsara chittam samsaro upasiddhati akshadabhimanam talkridam bhoga chindam cha tejediti. Sridharaswami says here, yavadevana tejatasya karma janahi sarva vyavastidal yavadidi. He says here that the ahangaram, because ahangaram is a false thing, isn't it? Ahangara kritam bandham atmano artha vibharyayam. Ahangaram creates this situation in us. That means this false ego inside us has created this bondage with the matter. So by constant reflection on that, one's own identity, ahangaram must evaporate. It go away from inside. All these things he spoke about, and in order to do that, Krishna spoke about the instructions from the spiritual master, Guru Upadesham. He says there in the 33rd verse there, he says that evam vimrishya gunado manasastravastha manmaya maikrita iti nishchidartha na chidya hardam anumanasadukti tishna jnanasinam bhajade akhila samshayadhim. Only through that knowledge which will be received from the spiritual master, this will happen. Otherwise it will not happen. So therefore he stresses that point there. Manasa Travasta. Travasta means these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, of the mind. Manmayaya Maigrida iti Nishchidartha. It has been created by the Maya. Maya has created that, Nishchidartha. Samchidyam Hardam. And we have to break that, cut that knot off, cut that ignorance from inside. Hardam Anumanasadukti Tishna Jnanasinam. By intense cultivation of this realization of the self. That is what the realization of self. And with that knowledge of this sword of knowledge, Krishna says, one has to cut through that ignorance and come out from the jnanasina bhajadami bhajadama akila samshayadhim. That is the only way to free oneself from that state. Krishna says there to Uddhava. We saw that. We talked about that chapter and we finished that last Sunday. So, a personality, one who has come to that identity, that means his own self, what he is no more, although his senses are in the transactions of this world, in Vyavaharam, but no, he will not be affected by anything, by the Vyavaharam. Why? The knowledge is very strong inside. The realization is very strong inside. It won't matter to him anymore. It won't matter to him anymore. Normally, when we conduct business in this world, we do it through our mind, isn't it? Mind, intelligence, these are our tools. So, using the mind and intelligence, we conduct the business in this world through the senses, senses of knowledge, senses of action. And when the results come, if they are favorable, there is attachment. If they are unfavorable, there is aversion. In this way, our business goes on in this world. Self-realized soul, one who has realized the truth,
He does not deal with this world anymore in that way. Although the senses will be acting in this world, inside it is realized state. There is no more disturbances. Mind is not moving anymore. There is no more waves happening inside. There it is very strong and sound. And because it is sound there, outside activities does not bother, does not matter to him. So that is the point, that we have to conduct the business in this world in that way. Inside, no disturbances. There, fixed on the spiritual truth. Outside, for vyavahara means like that. Once you get into it, you have to burn the finger. There's no question about that. It will come back in some form. So not to allow that to get in, that is what Krishna talked about. And when this was spoken, and in spite of all vyavahara jnanis or realized souls, they still remain free from all disturbances. They are able to maintain that balance inside. That balance means that they don't get affected by it, because they know everything is false, what they are dealing with. It is Maya, isn't it? Maya's world it is. And what can be true here? What can be true here? As much as we have been sent here, given a dress and told us to come and play the role, you have to play, there is no choice. If you say you are not going to play, that will not be allowed. You have to play that role, what you have to play. You have been sent here with that dress. A body has been given to us and sent here. Whatever role we have been put in, and we have to play that role. That is the point Krishna is making there. And then, afterwards, the question came up from Uddhava, a very important question. Even though Uddhava heard all these things, Uddhava's doubt was still lingering on. He was thinking that how come that if this is what Krishna is saying here, why there are so many different kinds of religions, different kinds of religious processes, and even people who are following the Vedic philosophy, even they have so much differences of opinion from one to another, isn't it? Everybody is confused about this thing called Hinduism, isn't it? Everybody asks, how many gods have you got? What to do? You can't explain this whole thing in 1 minute. They want an answer straight away. In the street, middle of the street, they meet you and they ask you this question. What are you supposed to say? So this is the problem, that people have to have time to understand these things, a little bit more time required to understand what is this principle behind it. So therefore, Uddhava, on behalf of us, asked this question. Bandho, Krishna Uddhava says there, Vadandi Uddhava Vaja, Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi, Bahuni Brahma Vadinam, Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanyam, Udaho Egamukhyadaha. Uddhava's question is, Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi. Krishna, so many people are saying so many things, and they are all saying they are correct. So whom do I trust? Basically, that's the question. Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi. Bahuni Brahmavadinam. Brahmavadi, among the people who have realized the truth, it's not ordinary people saying this. If ordinary people say, they can, Uddhava is willing to leave it behind. But highly realized personalities who have realized the truth, they are asking this question, how do I understand this? That's why I'm saying here. Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanyam Radaho Egamukheda. Uddhava's question is, that do I have to understand them based on the vigalpam inside, which you know what it means is, that each one of them who presents their understanding of the Veda, or the philosophy, or the tatvam, they are all saying to us in one way or the other different things. So the question is, when is this differences come due to vigalpam? That means because their way of thinking is different, is that what happened? That they have started seeing things in a different way. Because of the vigalpam inside. Because everybody has different vigalpam inside, isn't it? Each one of us, our mind and intelligence works in different ways. Something acceptable to one person may not be acceptable to another. Why is that? Because he feels that in his understanding, he feels that's not right. Somebody else says something else is acceptable. So this difference Uddhava has noticed, and especially when it's coming from authority sources, great sages. And it is all those great sages who have brought different understanding from the Vedic literature. So that's why he asked that question. Bahuni brahmavadinam tesham vigalpa pradhaniyam udaho ega mukhyada. Is that all based on the vigalpam from there, or is there one that is important in their conclusions? When that question was asked that question, not only in the case of devotion, he says, you can see this problem all the time. If you go into a library, for example, any library, you will see there departments of different books, is there, isn't it? There will be history, there will be books for the older people with the big letters, and then there is different science, fiction, technology, all kinds. And then you will see a group religion also there. And what are you supposed to do? You go and pick which book. There's about 20, 30 religious books there, kept all nicely packed and kept. So you start taking each one of them and start reading to find out which one should I take out of this 20 offer. So there itself the confusion has started. So there the problem is that you will bring one, study one religion for a week, put the book back, take another one, study for another religion, put the book back. If you go on like this, after that you will become mad. That's the end result of all that. End result. It says there that in Ajarya Swamiji says about that Shabdajalam Maharanyam Chitta Brahmanakaranam, he says. Shabdajalam Maharanyam. This world of sound is a deep forest, and once you enter into it, Chitta Brahmanakaranam, you will become crazy. You will become crazy. That is how it is, this thing called religion. So, if it is like that, then what is the hope? What hope is there? This is the question. So, it has happened many times in the history. A person, once he has walked all the way from, he was very serious to study and to know the, he wants to know the truth. And he kept on studying, and then he lost it eventually. He didn't know where to go further. This will happen. This happened to many, many people in the religious field. They'll study all kinds of philosophy, and everyone is saying something, and he'll hear one person and he'll say, oh, he's right, he'll think. As soon as he hears somebody else, he says, oh, he is right, he is wrong. Now you hear 10 people like this, what will happen? What will happen to us? Imagine that situation. All together, a disaster inside, and then goes out of order. So That is the important thing. This is Shabdajalam Maharanyam Chitta Brahmanakaranam. It is, if you do not understand the principle on which Krishna consciousness is to be understood, if you understand it in this way, through book knowledge, thinking that books are the everything, and then all we are doing is we taking only things from the books and say, oh, everything else is nonsense in this world. That you can say, but very intelligent people won't accept that. They'll find it difficult. That if you brand everyone as nonsense and throw it away like that, that's not possible. So in the process of this evolution of the spiritual life from a very time immemorial, the sages who founded the Upanishads, they have gone deeper into these things, that how these things shouldn't happen to anyone. And therefore, they have spoken about the truth in a particular way. In a particular way they have presented to us. And they're saying to us that you have to get somewhere, some hold somewhere. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Otherwise, keep on floating in this process from one person to another. Some people are like that. They will give out, they'll try out every institution. Go and get a few books from here, get a few books from there. And then they'll read this few times and they'll read other books sometimes. Like this, it goes on and on and on. So that is why. And then there are people. So you have to know, the person who is seeking, he has to know what he wants in spiritual life, isn't it? He has to be clear himself at what the goal is. That is the first thing that has to happen. So he says here that so if you allow all kinds of opinions to get into the head, then they will constantly disturb you in all situations. So first thing is, the sages have told us that the goal should be very clear. You remember in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna talks about the goal more than the process. Why? Because goal is more important in spiritual life, not the process. It's the goal that is important. If one has fixed the goal, Krishna says everything else will fall in place in due course. That may be a question of time only, but if he is fixed on the goal. But if the goal is not fixed, he will drift. Like a boat in the vast ocean, it keeps going according to the wind in different directions. In the same way, it keeps going. So therefore, that's why it is important, this chapter. The importance of this chapter is that how one can free oneself from that situation, not to happen. So therefore, what the sages are telling us that, first thing, the goal should be fixed. And second thing, that goal, what is fixed, should be authenticated by the Vedas. There is a reason for that, saying like that. Because those who have realized the truth, their expressions and their realizations are on a different level. They are talking to us from that realized state. And if we accept that authority of those realized persons who have gone through that process of self-realization and reached the goal, that is authentic. That is authentic because they've reached that state. Now, how do you know? That question will come. How do I know whether he is realized or not? This will be the next question, isn't it? The Vedic answer is for that, there are certain criteria which says that a person, so many qualifications necessary for a person who is in that state. Otherwise, it is not possible. And that we have discussed before also. And that is why it emphatically says there that the realization that Upadekshandide Jnanam Jnaninas Tattva Darshina, one who has seen the Tattvam, he should speak. He should instruct, not otherwise. One who has seen the Tattvam, Jnaninas Tattva Darshina. Very, very firmly Krishna puts it there. They insist on that. Jnaninas Tattva Darshina, one who has seen the Tattvam. So, so from there, you can come to this point that they insist on that. Why is that? Because as they are very particular about that. Why? Because you cannot trust the intelligence. This is the reason. Normally, everything we make the decision based on intelligence, isn't it? Intelligence is the criteria through which we make decisions in this world. Intelligence picks up the decision, isn't it? So this intelligence is called, you cannot trust that because unless that intelligence is completely pure, it has become very pure and it has completely experienced the realization of the truth. Atmanubhava sambandham. That means it has experienced, realized the truth. Only then it will acquire this quality known as aptatvam. What does aptatvam means? You will see in the Bhagavatam that word in few places. Aptatva means that great sages, when they speak something, to us it may not be truth. Vajo arthonu dhavadi. That means that whatever they have spoken, that will become truth. They have reached that state. You see? Truth is like such a thing. We think truth is something what we see with our eyes. That's not the truth. Real spiritual truth is, a person who has reached that state of consciousness, once he has spoken something, that becomes the truth. In other words, all Upanishads have come like that from them, from these great souls, from these great sages who have given us Upanishads. It is their words have come true. That is the process. So, they insist that you can't trust the intelligence. Whereas, all other things, what we write is based on our intelligence, isn't it? Using the intelligence we write the books. We study different situations, we spoke so many things, and we different philosophies have come all through intelligence. That is not acceptable. That is not acceptable. That is where this problem is coming. He says, if they have come to that state known as aptatvam, it's called aptatvam, aptakama, there's a word in the Bhagavatam. So once you have reached that stage, whatever they say after that will not go wrong. That's their purity. So, otherwise, intelligence, senses, mind, if you get trapped in any of these things, you will start talking all nonsense after that. Because mind will start speculating. Mind will create doubts first. Intelligence will start speculating. And sometimes when you are in a, sensually you are not in a good state or uncontrolled senses, you will talk anything, whatever you feel. So that's why you can see it has become a very difficult job for most of the people in the modern world because of this. That everybody finds it, there are so many institutions talking about spiritual life, and all or many of them are taking to it based on the intelligence, completely depending on the intelligence. And the sage's advice to us is that simply depending on the intelligence alone, you cannot move to any particular path. No path you can take to it. So, and also, you cannot follow any philosophy based on intelligence. Siddhantam. Siddhantam, you can't accept. Siddhantam, you can't accept it or follow it up through based on intelligence. So, because of this reason alone is why none of the philosophies what people have developed based on the intelligence will never work on people. Will never work on people. You can see so many big philosophers in this world, isn't it? In the East as well as in the West. They have come and they have written big books on philosophy. Lot of books they have written on philosophy. And people read that as like an intellectual exercise, but there is nothing practically possible with that. All you can do is to absorb a lot more chitavritti it will create inside, and it will leave you and go. And you will leave that book behind. And they are all called big philosophers, isn't it? So philosophy is like that. All based on intelligence. Everything based on intelligence. Because they are thinking, we call them thinkers, isn't it? Great thinkers, we say. They think, yes, you're right. They are thinking. But thinking of what? A complete vacuum they are thinking, isn't it? They have to think and they have to get an answer somewhere. No, don't get an answer. So what will do? The intelligence will tell them, look, this could be correct for you. So go with that. And they'll create one philosophy, write a lot of books, and they will get some people to study those books, and they'll go after that. No, but no effect at all on the people. On the people, there's no effect at all. This happens, isn't it? So many big philosophers. If you look into Prabhupada's conversations at a right somewhere in 72-73 conversations, if you look, you'll see a number of philosophers' teachings were reviewed. Devotees brought that to Prabhupada to comment on that. Prabhupada had discussed those philosophy individually, each one of them, and he was able to say that this philosophy cannot stand. It doesn't have any. It's all based on intelligence. Intelligence cannot give you the absolute truth. Intelligence has its own limitations. That's the point Prabhupada is making there. So that limitation we also have to recognize. And if we, our nature, because it's based on intelligence, everything we want to accept, it becomes sometimes very difficult. So Uddhava is asking to Krishna this question. So many things are spoken, and is all of them, all these different processes that's been spoken, are they all important? Or only one of them we should accept? That is the question. Only one of them we should accept. So, Bhavado Dahrda Swamin, Bhakti Yoga Anabe Shidaha, Nirasya Sarvada Sangam, Yenatoi Avishal Manaham, Avishain Manaham. Then you spoke about process of Bhakti before. Bhakti Yoga process was spoken before. And how do I develop that Bhakti? How can I develop without any without any adulteration, pure bhakti? That's what Uddhava is asking that question. And you have shown that to me, and without being connected with any of the other sense objects in this world, attachment to Krishna and developing the devotion that you have spoken, I've heard that also, Uddhava says. So what is the importance of this bhakti yogam? Now here, when Krishna is saying here Bhakti Yogam, Uddhava is mentioning here that Krishna spoke about Bhakti Yogam in the last chapter, isn't it? So when we talked about Salsangam, Krishna talked about Bhakti Yogam. Uddhava is asking, how do I get that Bhakti Yogam? You have spoken to me. But that Bhakti Yogam process So, what is the importance of that Bhakti Yogam here, when Uddhava says that Bhakti Yogam, Jnana Yogam is included in that? You are not separating it out there. That Bhakti includes the Jnanam as well. That is why Bhakti associated with Jnanam is what is discussed in the Ekadasha Skandham. It is not the kind of Bhakti what we are used to. Our Bhakti Krishna doesn't have to discuss. That's going on eternally. And this bhakti will never leave this world, our bhakti. That's permanently fixed here. That bhakti is not so difficult to get it also. And the kind of bhakti what we are used to, what we all call each other as great devotee, advanced devotee, senior devotee, this devotee. That bhakti is like that. But the bhakti what Krishna is talking about here, and Uddhava, that is different kind of bhakti. What is that bhakti? Brahma Bodha Prasannatma. Na shojadi, na kaṅkṣadi, sama sarveshu bhūteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. That para bhakti is what Krishna is discussing with Uddhava. So it's a different state altogether what they are talking about. So this bhakti yogam, what has been talked about here, that it is not that prākṛta bhakti. Prākṛta bhakti means, you remember, there are three types of bhakti we saw. Kapila Maharshi, Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, based on the three modes of material nature. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, three kinds of bhakti. Then again in the Ekadasha Skandham, we saw earlier Kavi Maharshi and Hari Maharshi says there, three kinds of bhakti, devotees, isn't it? That he says there that there is one person who sees everywhere Krishna's presence. He is the best among all the devotees. Then, Ishwari tadadineshu balishayishu dushalsuja premam maitri kripa ubeksha ekarodisa madhyama. The middle class devotee is that one who sees, who understands Shastram, he sees Krishna in the temple, and also he makes friendship with the devotees, premam, friendship to and love for Krishna, friendship to devotees, and compassion for those who are not devotees, and indifference to those who are inimical. So that four things, prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha, in the case of middle class devotee, the middle level. Upper level, for him, there is no non-devotee. Everybody is a devotee. Krishna is present in everyone, and that's all what he is seeing, nothing else. So he is on a much higher state. And then the last devotee who thinks that Krishna is only in the temple, nowhere else. He'll go there once a week or once a month, whatever time he thinks. He will put forward to Krishna all his demands. And he also say to Krishna, if you fulfill all this, I will do this for you. And it's a contract, more or less. And he will do that and he will go. He doesn't care what happens to others. He doesn't whether they live or die, it doesn't matter to him. So that is the Prākṛta Bhakta. Prākṛta Bhakti is also devotee. Why? Because he at least has accepted Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is concerned, it is like that. Suppose somebody talks about Krishna, takes Srimad Bhagavatam and talks about Krishna. Krishna will give him a mic and Krishna will also give a few people to listen. Now, suppose somebody sits there and says, God doesn't exist. He's a total nonsense. It's completely nonsense to believe in this thing called God. It's all illusion and it's all, what do they call it? There's a word which they say that, superstition and things like that. Krishna will give him also a mic and get a few people to listen to him. You know why? Because as far as Krishna is concerned, both of them are talking about me. That is Krishna's solution to the problem. Krishna says, the one who is trying to establish that I am existing, he's talking about me. The one who is talking, saying that I don't exist, he's also talking because he has to prove that I'm not existing. Isn't it? So either way, both parties are talking about me, so I'll give them a mic and I'll give a few people to listen. This is the logic behind Krishna's words. Krishna is saying things like that. So many times we will see this. Krishna's, if you look at from Krishna's point of view, he's right. Because there are so many people. You know these people who are Yuktivadis, they are called. There's a group of people like that. They believe only in logic. Everything has to be logical. You can include the scientists also, some of them, in that group. Everything has to be seen. So for such people also, this apply. Krishna's point is like that. So having said that, it says here that so many people fall into this trap. in this trap. How? For example, according to our time and our mind and the way of life we live, because we are very busy people in this world, listen, we haven't got time. So what has happened is, in this modern environment, so many religious institutions, they have come into existence, and what they are saying is there, that they'll come and tell you, we haven't got much time, first thing they'll tell you. But we'll pay you the fee, what you want. But I want to get self-realized in 3 or 4 weeks' time. That's all time I have got, holidays. I've got 2 weeks' holiday. If you can do something about it and realize the truth for me. Okay, the man who is selling the idea, he saw the situation very well. He says he hasn't got the time, he's willing to pay. So let me charge him nicely and give him a 2 weeks' course and send him back. That's all you can do for a person who wants it like that. What else can you do? So this is all the trap Krishna is talking about. That he will say to him, okay, we have a course starting. When is the holiday starting? Let me see what's the next closest date for that. And he'll tell you a date. If it is a Monday, it will be a Tuesday. His course will start. You can come for the course from Tuesday. And attend for 2 weeks. And then you get a certificate that you are self-realized. You can go home. Take it with you. And be happy, satisfied with that. So this is one group, what Krishna is talking about. So they have to finish up everything. They have to finish up everything in that 2 weeks holiday, what they have got. After that, they go and make money again, isn't it? They have to make a lot more money after that to pay for the next course. So, so self-realization they want has to happen in these 2 weeks' time. So Krishna caught on that. And do you know what he said? If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see what he said about such people. He says, if you look in the 7th verse, Yabhir Bhudhani Dibidhyande Bhudhanam Madhyastadaha Yadha Pragradi Sarvesham Chitravaja Sravandihi. That is the answer to that. Yadha Pragradi Sarvesham Chitravaja Sravandihi. Then according to their nature, whatever they have in their head going through, they'll come to certain conclusions like that. Sometimes you will see that very intelligent people fall into this trap. So you may think that they are very intelligent people, highly placed in their material life, very smart and very capable in making money or running businesses or all kinds of things. But even they will go and sit in a chair listening to this kind of presentation of the truth. So that is why he says here, it is a very interesting thing. Yatha prakriti sarvesham chitra vaja sravandihi, he says. All the chitra vaja sravandihi, that their mind is like that, that they get attracted because they don't have the time to spare. They want to make money, they want to live a good life, and they have to get self-realized also along with all that. So, and the time is too short. What can you do? It's only 2 weeks they have got in the annual holiday. So, Vaja Sravandi, he says there, Chitra Vaja Sravandihi. Krishna says that, Chitra Vaja Sravandihi. That's their nature, that they will react in that way to that situation. So, and why Krishna says, this is the very special nature of Maya. That is the way Maya works in this world. Katita Katana Patiyasi Maya. That Maya, how it will trick you, you can never know. You can never know. Maya will make you realize, because your desire is like that, Maya will say, yes, that's possible in 2 weeks' time. You can do that. And Maya will tell you, you pay so much and you take the course. And then whatever little benefit, if you get any benefit, then you carry that with you. But unfortunately, Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita, you cannot go in that route. That's not possible. Because there is a certain process, what Krishna is talking about. There's a lot of background behind it. Uddhava is asking certain questions. And Krishna is saying that if you don't follow this, it is not possible. Therefore, the sages have put underline and given to us that this is the process in a particular way. So, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, verse 3. Now, Krishna is going to talk about how this situation has developed like this. If Krishna comes to this world today, Krishna is there, but comes and makes a so many institutions to discuss about him, isn't it? All over the world, everybody is talking about Krishna. Will say, oh, they have become so Krishna conscious now, all over the world. They're all. But then Krishna will get in and see how many people are using him to do business with him. Then he'll get very upset also, isn't it? It's not a subject for that. This is the point. You can say any logic and justification for that. The point is, Krishna consciousness is not for sale. It's for realization. If you are not firm on that, then it's all waste of time at the end. Kalena nashta pralaya praniyo vaniyam vedasam idaham mayado brahmane prokta dharmo yasyam madalmagaham. You can't say anything straight than this. Kalena nashta pralaya vaniyam vedasam idaham mayado brahmane prokta dharmo yasyam madalmagaham. Krishna says here that this kalena nashta pralaya. Pralaya means what? Devastation. Isn't it? Devastation. Pralayam is one kind of devastation, is this confusion inside the mind. What's right, what's wrong? Confusing everybody in this world with something or the other and disturb their mind in that way. Disturb their mind in that way. Pranayam vesam idam. So, when one gets self-realized, when one understands the truth, that is called the final devastation. Final devastation. Because final devastation means once for all the business is over. You have reached the other side of the ocean, which is the material existence. You have crossed over and you have realized the truth. Once you have realized the truth, then there is no more devastation after that. You know, in the Bhagavatam later on you will see Nityam, Naimityam, Prakritam, Atyantikam. Four kinds of devastation discussed. I mentioned this also last Sunday. That we have this, and we are sitting there and reading this and thinking, which one is going to come first? The one which happens very frequently. Maybe it's happening in Queensland now, or it's happening in Australia, or elsewhere. Is that kind of devastation, or is it some, all kinds of things we build up in our mind. So why it is spoken like that? Because in spiritual life, what happens to you, that's more important. What happens to the body is not important. We are identifying with the body and thinking, when the devastation comes, where should I take shelter? Isn't it? We make bunkers or we make some different thing for shelter. But in spiritual life, you don't need that kind of shelter. Body will go its own way. Material nature will take it away whenever it suits. Krishna's world, nobody knows what Krishna's decision is on these things. Where it should strike and where we should, who should go from this world, these are controlled by higher law. We have no control over it. The only freedom what we have is, while there is peace in this world, while there is some time given to us, while there is some sanity in the society, utilize that to realize the truth. That's all we have, the freedom. We have no other freedom. All other decisions are based on Krishna's reasoning. That is Krishna's decision. We have no authority to ask, why have you done this? What is your reason behind it doing that? You can't ask even that question. So that's why I say, Kalena Nashta Pralaya Vaniyam Vedasam Igaha. The Vedic knowledge also, when it came down, this has happened. The same thing has happened. That's what he's going to say here. That when Krishna created, when first time the Vedas were revealed to this world, Veda means what? You know that. Veda means knowledge, isn't it? Spiritual knowledge for self-realization. That is Veda. So when originally, when it was released from the sages, the Sattugunam was present in this world. Sattugunam was present in the world. So therefore, there was no Rajogunam or Tamogunam at that time. Rajogunam or Tamogunam. So therefore, the Veda, when they were released to this world, it shined very well because of the presence of Sattugunam. When Sattugunam is present in this world, what will happen? People will take the Vedic injunction seriously. Isn't it? Vedas have come like that from the sages. They have given to us and told us that this is the truth. All the Upanishads, particularly Upanishads knowledge is talking about. That they were acceptable and they were accepted by the general population without any reservations. Why? Because of the predominance of Sattvagunam. So when the creation happened, Sattvagunam was predominating in the beginning. That is what you find in the Krita Yugam. Isn't it? Kritam Traida Dwavaram Kali. Four Chaturyugam is four of this. In the Krita Yugam, Sattvagunam is dominant. Sattvagunam is dominant. Goodness. Goodness is dominant. In Traida Yugam, goodness started reducing. Reduction started. And Sattvam Rajas, Rajogunam and Sattvagunam started influencing the society. In the third stage, that is the Dwapara Yugam, it was more Rajogunam and Tamogunam. And in the fourth one, Kali Yugam, it is predominated by Tamogunam. So therefore, in Tamogunam is now we are, in that state, to some extent Rajogunam also. It's not a clear-cut division like that, but Rajogunam, Tamogunam does exist, but predominated by Tamogunam. That is our present state today, in this age. So when Vedas were originally revealed to this world, Sattvagunam was predominant. Krishna says Sattvagunam was predominant. Because Sattvagunam was predominant, the purity of the Vedas were was retained. In other words, Vedas were able to, their understanding, people were understanding of the Vedic literature, and the message was taken properly by the people in them days. So that is the beauty of that stage time when Sattvagunam was predominant. So little by little, this influence of Rajogunam has started coming in. What has happened is that Ragadvesham started building up. In Sattvagunam, Ragadvesham cannot happen. That is the indifference between the Rajogunam and Sattvagunam. In Rajogunam, you remember in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about that, isn't it? Kamayesha, Krothayesha, Rajoguna Samulbhavaha. That Kamam and Krotham, that is Rajoguna Samulbhavam. It has come from Rajogunam only. So, with the influence of Rajogunam, Krishna says here, Ragadvesham also increased. Attachment and aversion has also increased. The result of all that was that the ability to understand the purpose of the Vedas and Vedic injunctions, they have started losing that. After a while, what has happened? Only the sound is there. Only the Vedic hymns are there, but Veda is not there. Vedam has gone. That is the present state also, you can see. That all the Vedic hymns, particularly from the Rigvedam, many has been lost. But maximum hymns available is from Rigvedam. Others are much lesser. Yajurvedam, Samvedam, Atharvavedam is a lot lesser what we have got. Most of it is gone, lost. But whatever is available now, only the sound remains. Vedic hymns, the sound is there. You can hear the chanting of the Vedic hymns. They are available. But if you ask somebody to explain the meaning of these hymns, there is complete darkness. There is complete darkness. There is nobody who understands the Vedic hymns properly. Different people are given different commentaries because they could not understand it. We have lost that ability to understand the Vedic hymns. So therefore, that situation has happened, and it is Krishna's words, isn't it? The words Vedam is nothing but Krishna's words. No, that's why Krishna says here, Nashta Veda Sam Idam Vani. He says here, Kalena Nashta Pralaya Vaniyam Veda Sam Idaha. So therefore, all the, if you look into the Brahma Sutram, there is a statement there. One of the Sutram there is Shastra Yonitvad. It says, that's all it says, Shastra Yonitvad. That means Shastram has come from the soul. Shastram has come from the soul. Where does all the Shastram come from? Shastram has come from the soul. Shastra Yonitvad, it says. The origin of Shastram is from the soul. That means Krishna. In other words, you can say like that. But it has, devotee will say it's coming from Krishna. Jnanis will say it comes from Brahman. Whichever way you call it, but the origin is that. That's where it is coming from. Shastra Yonitvad. So, whatever it may be, the Shastram has come from the soul. And the only way to know the soul is through Shastram. only way to know the soul is only possible through Shastram. That's why Shastra Yonitvad is a important, is a fourth or fifth sutram in the Brahma Sutram. Fourth or fifth, one of the early ones. Janmadhyasedaha is the first one. And then it goes on, and then the Shastra Yonitvad comes. So there, Shastra Yonitvad, it says there that the soul is the origin from where Shastram has come about. Therefore, Shastra Yonitvam. So, so this Veda, where it has originated from, that Vedam, in course of time, while it is being in this world, little by little, and that it has been lost there. It has been lost. That's what he says here. That mayado brahmane prokta dharmo yasyam madalmaga. So Krishna's point is that I have given this Vedic injunctions in this world, but many people have taken to it in the beginning in the proper way, but in course of time they could not retain, understand it. That's what has happened. They could not understand it because of the influence of Rajogunam in them. Because of the influence of Rajogunam in them. Sridharacharya Swamiji says about that in this way. I'll read that out because it is important. He says here,
Bhaktireva mahabhalatvena mukhya anyani tu swasva prakrityanusarena pushpasthaniya surghadi bhalabuddhibhi pranibhi pradhanyena parikalpidani kshullagha bhalani iti vivektum prakrityanusarena bahuda vedartha pradibhattimaha kaleneva saptabhi.
He says that what Krishna says here, the same thing he says here, pranibhi pradhanyena parikalpidani, that the importance of Vedic injunctions and their acceptance among this general society gets affected by the modes of nature that has infected us. It has its effect on us. That's what he is saying here. That shullaka phalani iti vivektum prakriti anusarena bahuda vedartha pratipattivaha. Prakriti anusarena, according to their prakriti, according to their nature, they will understand it. You see, they'll understand it according to their nature. Prakrityanusarena bahuda, in various ways, he says, Vedartha pradipatimaha. Vedartham, or the essence of the Vedic literature, they will accept it in that way, different ways, according to their nature. So, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, don't blame me for this. It's all these people who have done this. They have interpreted and made all kinds of conclusions from that, and that is because of this influence of Rajogunam and Tamogunam that has gone inside. So he says like that, and then after that he says here that only what was left was that what was left behind was sound. So when this was happening, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Mahabharatam, and then later on, prior to that, Upanishads existed. Even much before Vedavyasa Maharshi's arrival, Upanishads existed. So, the Upanishads' knowledge was losing its in effect on the people. Because people have changed. Upanishads didn't change. People changed, and they found it difficult to understand the Upanishads' knowledge. So, seeing that, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Mahabharatam. You know that, isn't it? He started explaining the same tattvam in the Upanishads he brought forward and gave it to us in the form of Mahabharatam. Added to that, what else did he do? He wrote all the other Puranas as well. These are all later additions to the Vedic library. All these Puranas, everything. All Puranas were written afterwards. So after writing all these Puranas, still Vedavyasa Maharshi did not feel any satisfaction. Then Sri Narada Maharshi comes, discusses with him and compiles Srimad Bhagavatam. after that. Listen, we have talked about all that. So, when all these discussions happened, that he tried to explain this, and still message was not coming through to the people. Message was not coming through to the people. So it is then that Krishna sent the acharyas one after the other to present it to us. To present it to the truth. Because Vedavyasa Maharshi is the head of the whole group. He is the head of everything. And he wrote all these Puranas, and he compiled the, divided the Vedas into four: Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvana Vedam. He taught them to his four major disciples, Jaimini, Pailan, Sumandhu, and Vaishambayana, four sages. Each Vedam he has taught. Pailan got, I think, Rigvedam, Vaishambayana got Yajurvedam, and Atharvana Vedam, Sumandhu, and the fourth one, whoever that I mentioned. So, anyway, that's one. The four sages were given Jaimini. So, four sages were given the four Vedas after he has split them into four and taught them. His intention was, through them, let that stay in the world. He knew the problem very well. He knew as time advances, people will become very degraded. Degraded in the sense they will lose their capacity to understand the truth, in other words. Ability to capture the message of the Vedic literature. And we can practically see that, that's gone, completely lost it. So he tried to introduce in this way, through this parampara system of these four disciples, and through them, he introduced these four Vedas into this world. Upanishads were already existing. Vedas, he has divided them into four. Then he realized that this Tri Shudra Adibir Apyuda, majority of the people, when the lower modes of nature comes in, what happens? They become to the fourth class. Isn't it? The nature will change in us. And we become naturally the Shudra category. So, seeing, feeling mercy for the Shudra and the Stri women who have not much of a opportunity to study the Vedic literature because of their life in this world, then he introduced Mahabharatam for that purpose. Gave us Mahabharatam, and through Mahabharatam, he tried to introduce the same principles to this world. That's what Vedavyasa Maharshi has done. And then after that, he wrote the Puranas all, and different Puranas, 18 major Puranas and Upapuranas also, and then he gave us the Srimad Bhagavatam as the last book. And prior to that, Bhagavad Gita was there, Krishna's Bhagavad Gita was there, 5,000 years ago Krishna gave that. And then we had Brahma Sutram, he gave us Brahma Sutram, he gave Upanishads was already existing, and then Puranas came, Mahabharatam came, and also of course the Srimad Bhagavatam came at the very end, isn't it? But in spite of all these things, message is not getting through. That is the problem, isn't it? The purpose of all this is that somehow or the other to get people out of ignorance that they are this body. This is the whole effort is focused on that one thing. How to get people out of the bodily concept of life. Because that is knowledge, isn't it? Mula avidya it is called. Very fundamental ignorance it is. Mula avidya it is called. In Shastram they refer to as mula avidya. So, at that time, Acharya started coming and using this creation of Vedavyasa Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi's literature, they have started presenting the truth to us. They started presenting the truth to us. So, that is how a series of Acharyas came to this world the first time. Starting with Shankaracharya, he came and he brought out what is known as Advaita philosophy. Advaitam has come from him. In that way, he took the Upanishads very seriously, and based on the Upanishads' understanding, he interpreted the Vedas strongly and wrote the books and propagated Advaita Siddhantam strongly all over the country. So, when that was propagated, it was picked up very well by the people who had that background of education. It didn't suit ordinary people. They found it difficult. Because the sharpness of that philosophy and the difficulty that strength needed to understand and to bring that into practice was pretty difficult thing to do. Not only that, When that continued for a long time, it turned into mental speculations many times. As usual, everything happens. It was then that Ramanujacharya came, and Ramanujacharya looked at the situation. He saw that ordinary people, they require a direct relationship with God, with whom they can talk to, and they can have a relationship with Him, the necessity of that. Although in Advaitam also all these things exist, the stress is on self-realization and on cultivating spiritual knowledge. That's given the freedom from this existence and the body. In other words, freedom from this bodily identity, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence. These things completely Acharya Swamiji has rejected in the books. And he stressed the importance of the soul and realization of the self through that path. He spoke that. So when Ramanujacharya came, he felt the need to explain the Vedic philosophy. He is seeing this from a different position. Why? Because there what's happening is that the way Shankaracharya was seeing the truth, Ramanuja was not seeing in the same way. He found certain things which was not acceptable to him. That's where the problem started. Problem means that's how it developed into. He saw that it requires a different approach now, and he brought what is known as Vishishtadvaitam. Vishishtadvaita philosophy came into existence. That was after about 300 years or so. 300 or 400 years after Shankaracharya's time, and Ramanuja appeared and he brought this Vishishtadvaita philosophy. So Vishishtadvaitam came into existence, and then for some time Ramanujacharya propagated that very well, and many places Vishishtadvaita Vaishnava Sampradayam, that has come into existence. Shankaracharya Sampradayam also, in one sense, it is Vaishnavam, because he also eventually accepted Krishna as the absolute truth and propagated on that basis everything. But sometimes there is always discussions about it, and there is difference of opinion about all these things. But that one has to study all the philosophy one wants to understand what it's all about. Then after a few hundred years, Madhvacharya came. And Madhvacharya felt the need that he started seeing from a completely different position again. That's what Krishna is saying here. That these different opinions or different philosophies or siddhantam that has come into existence. So, whatever I have spoken, Krishna says there in the third verse, Kalena Nashtapalayam Yaniyam Vedasam Ida Mayado Brahmane Prokta Dharmo Hyo Anarthagaha. He says there, isn't it? That what I have spoken in the beginning, Krishna says, whatever I have spoken in the beginning, it has started changing. It has started changing in that way. So the thing what I have spoken, Krishna says in the fourth verse, Tena proktaja putraya manave purvajayasa tatho brigvadaya agrihnan sapta brahma maharshayaha. It says, I have given to Brahma, and Brahma, I instructed this first, this knowledge. Brahma handed it over to Srinarada Maharshi, and then to Swayambhu Manu, and in that process others have got it. Later on, Bhrigu and so many other great sages, Saptarishis, they came to know about it. And through them, their children, grandchildren, in that way it has come about. Tebhya, if you look at that verse, Tebhya, Pidrabhya, Tal Putraha, Deva Dana Guhyagaha, Manushyaha, Siddha Gandharvaha, Savidhyadara Charanaha. They are all different creation, different species. Vidyadaraha, Charana, Guhyagaha. And in that, we are also included, Manushyaha. The human species also included. So, Vedam did not stay only in the human species. It has stayed in all the other species also. That means what he says here, Siddha, Charana, Guhyaga, and Deva, Dhanava, Guhyaga, Deva, demigods, Dhanava, demons, Guhyagas, all different species. Among them also, this Vedic knowledge stayed with them all. And according to their modes of nature, they have accepted the same Veda in different ways. You see? So naturally a devotee or a Deva will accept Veda in one way. Dhanava or Daitya will accept Veda in another way. Isn't it? But they all accept Veda. because that's the only knowledge there in this creation at that time. So they have all accepted that, but according to varying degrees, their understanding, according to the, Krishna says, Rajastama Prakritayaha. According to the Rajogunam and Tamogunam in them, accordingly they have understood the Veda. You see, one who is in the Satogunam, he will understand in one way. One who is in Rajogunam, he will understand in one way. One who is in Tamogunam, he will understand completely in a wrong way. So, Vedam hasn't changed. What changed the Vedas were the modes of nature in the particular species who have taken the Vedic knowledge. This is how that changes happened. The changes happened. So, therefore, Krishna says here to Uddhava, Uddhava, the mistake is not mine. I spoke the Vedas, I gave the Vedas to them, and just like he gives the example there, that kindevaha, kinnara, naga, rakshaha, kimpurushadayaha, bahustesham, prakadayaha, rajasattva tamobhuvaha. So, remember in that, verse 3, 4 and 5 and 6, Krishna is saying the type of people to whom Vedic knowledge was given in the beginning, and how each one of them have taken the Vedic knowledge, but according to Rajasattva Tamobhuvaha. According to Rajagunam, Sattvagunam, Tamogunam, that Vedic knowledge stayed with them in that particular way. So the modes of nature has an important role there. Isn't it? Rajasattva Tamobhuvaha. Bhakvastesham Prakritayoho. That he says here, their nature, Prakriti, is different. Each one of them. Isn't it? Bhagavastesha Prakritayaha. That means that their swabhavam or nature is different. Particularly, that is why you see in the Bhagavadam, Kamsa also speaks philosophy, you know. He speaks Vedic philosophy and Vedantam he talks. Hiranyakashipu also talks Vedantam. So that means they have all accepted Vedam. They have all accepted the Vedam philosophy. But when the only thing is, the practice was in a little different way. That's all. Practice was in a different way. This will happen. I'll give you an example. Sometimes people like sheep who are following everything without any thinking, they will get into trouble. So once a group went on a kind of a pilgrimage, they were traveling in Maharashtra. So when they were traveling there, in India you will see millions of gods, millions of places worshipped in millions of ways. So there was one village, there were a group of people, and they were worshipping the deity which Kamsa was worshipping, Bhairava. Kamsa used to worship Bhairava, you know that, it's in the Bhagavadam. Kamsa deity he worshipped was Bhairava. And Kamsa had this big bow there. Krishna went and took the bow and broke it. He says, the one who is worshipping this bow, and his mind also should be like this bow, he said. And broke it into pieces and throw it away. You read that in the Krishna book, you will see that. Bhagavatam also, it's there. So this group who was growing on their spiritual trip or pilgrimage, they were called. So they were traveling through this village and they were coming from another state somewhere. They didn't know anything about Maharashtra and the local temple. They were just traveling. Spiritual tourism, you can say. That's what is the right word now they use. Health tourism, spiritual tourism. So they were spiritual tourists, in other words. And they just wanted to go to all the temples, main, big temples. In Maharashtra they went and saw all the big temples. And then on the way they saw this small one temple. Everybody went there also, to that temple. When they went there, they didn't realize what was going on there. They didn't even know the deity. They were going and paying the obeisances. Without knowing to whom they are paying the obeisances. It turns out like that at the end, isn't it? You'll go not knowing what's going on, just pay your obeisances. Anyway, they paid the obeisances. Naturally, they were given prasadam at the end. So, this particular group who were worshipping there, Bhairava, the offering was alcohol. So they were giving it like tirtham, you know, like Charanamrita they were giving. And all the women were showing the hand with great respect and they were consuming that. So somebody pointed out to this, don't take it, they said. So they felt offended, why you should not take it like that. So afterwards they were told what that was offered as the as the prasadam, and then only they realized that they were, this is not the prasadam they wanted. The alcohol, drops of alcohol was given, and just because that was the offering they have made to Bhairava. So these kind of religious processes do exist. Why do they exist? Rajastama prakrayaha. Because of this rajogunam, tamogunam, satogunam in people, that differences will exist. Will exist in the people. So that is what has happened. So Krishna says here that the this problem will be there. He says that including Manu's time, according to their bhavam, that suppose you keep a group of children in a class and teach them Veda Patashala, where you teach the children Vedas. Now what will happen is, each one of them will understand Veda in a different way. Even if the teacher has taught the Vedas to them, those who have learned that from the teacher, they will understand it in a different way. This is the problem. This is that complexity of the Vedic injunctions. That when it is spoken, when it is explained to them, in their mind and in their intelligence, they will develop some understanding, which will be completely it will be understood. That is the complexity of the Vedic knowledge. So this is what has happened. He says here that children will also understand in the other way. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita, for example, even if you teach Bhagavad Gita to somebody, according to their vasana, according to their sankalpam, and they will understand in that particular way. That's all they will understand. What capacity they have got to understand, accordingly they will understand that. That's the way it is. You can teach Bhagavad Gita to so many people, but you will see they have all not understood the same way. Some of them will understand in one way, somebody will understand in the wrong way, somebody will understand it in a completely different way. And then some people will think that Bhagavad Gita is some key verses I have to learn, and then I understood that I summarized the whole thing and got it in a few verses, everything what I need to know. And they'll get hold of that few verses, and they'll say, this is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. And when they start saying like that, it becomes very difficult. Because people, that again depends on the person's intelligence. You cannot blame the person who has spoken for that. The person who has heard that, he has to answer that. If that is his level of understanding and its capacity to understand, there's nothing you can do about it. That is why this difference is coming. So this can happen to Bhagavad Gita. What to talk about Srimad Bhagavatam? If it can happen to Bhagavad Gita, what chance Bhagavatam has got then? So that is the question coming there. So the same thing, the knowledge in the Bhagavatam, knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita also will experience the same difficulties. You can look at the Bhagavatam itself according to one's own vasana inside. Because we have this thing, very powerful thing called vasana inside, isn't it? And that vasana, according to our nature, along with that, we will start explaining Bhagavatam in that way. So, whatever one feels, what he wants from Bhagavatam, in the same way, he will find the meaning in the verses. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Yadha prakriti sarvesham chitra vaja sravandihi. That line in the seventh verse, the second part. Yadha prakriti sarvesham chitra vaja sravandihi. This is what that means. That means, according to his everybody, he says, according to their prakriti. Prakriti means according to their swabhavam, according to their nature. Sarvesham chitra vaja sravandihi. They will present the picture and they will explain it in their own way through their words, what they have understood. So when we talk about Srimad Bhagavatam, when we discuss Bhagavad Gita, if we have heard it and you may have understood it in another way according to your vasana in there, that influence of vasana is so strong that you will accept that from Bhagavad Gita as the essence. That's the essence. This is where the difficulty comes. Sometimes you will say, people make these statements, isn't it? I am a devotee, I don't need to know anything about Karma Yoga. I don't need to know anything about Jnana Yoga. Why? Why? This is the answer to that. Yatha Prakriti Sarvesham Chitra Vaja Sravandihi. Then they have concluded it like that already. Never thought about it in detail. At least to think, why did Krishna speak then this Karma Yoga? Why did he speak about Jnana Yoga? If it was all like that. That answer question is never answered. He'll only say like this, oh no, the topmost is Bhakti Yoga, and among that Bhakti Yoga, I got the real cream of it. What is that? Loving for Gopi's love. The topmost one. I only accept the top one. Lower ones, I completely leave it behind. It's not for me. For me, the highest always. So, that there we are. We have got to that situation now. That one line is to explain that in us. Krishna is talking about us now. Don't take that as a personal criticism. It is us, all of us. Yatha prakriti sarvesham chitra vaja sravandihi. Krishna says, they will find the meaning what they want in the book, in the verses. They can use the verses to suit their nature. To suit their nature. Yatha prakriti sarvesham chitra vaja sravandihi. If you remember that, every time when new philosophies, you can take it that this is where it's coming from. Yadha prakriti sarvesham chitravaja sravandihi. That is how it is to be understood. People will interpret or will, according to their vasana, they will see what their vasana will dictate to them, that this is what is written in the book. It will tell them like that from inside. And they will find that verse, that particular verse, what suits their vasana. And that is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita at that point. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. Yatha prakriti sarvesham chitra vaja sravandihi. So, in the same way, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads, all people keep with them and start talking like this, in the same way. So, what's the problem in talking like this? There is no problem because book is there, the verse is there. And somebody is giving some interpretation to the verses in a particular way. You have to read that and you say what you feel in your mind, what you think about that. So Krishna says there that Yabhir Bhutani Bidhyande Bhutanam Mathayastataham Yadha Prakriti Sarvesham Chitravajasravandihim. That Chitravajasravandihi. Chitra means Vichitram. Vichitram means very strange conclusions will come out from those people. Very strange conclusions. And that will come out and there will be no connections with the words what they have spoken and the Vedas. There will be no connection at all. Then they are not particular that there should be any connection either. Why? Because I have spoken, so you should accept that. That's their attitude. They'll take that attitude. Because this is what I am thinking. They will not say, oh, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying like this. Oh, Shukra Brahmarshi is saying like that. No, no, no. I am saying this. Why can't you accept that? This is their nature. That's how they interpret it. That's what he says here. I am more important, not Vedavyasa or Sukadeva Goswami. Because I know what I am talking about. This kind of nature in person. So, Chitravaja Sravandihi. So, this Prakriti, Krishna says there, it is very Vichitram. It is a very strange thing. And one's own prakriti or nature, it will definitely influence on what he says and what he talks about. So, that is why it says here. So, therefore, what the acharyas are saying is, because it is like that, they have set up certain standard in all these things. That everyone don't go and talk all kinds of rubbish from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So, they are saying there, Shrotriyo Brahmavitama Avrajino Akamahatoyo Brahmavitama Brahman Nibaradashando Nirindhana Ahaituga Dayasindu Bendur Anamatam Sadam Brahman Nibaradashando Nirindhana Ivanala. In other words, they set a standard. A person who has mastered the Vedas, that is the first thing to present Krishna consciousness properly. It says there that Shrotriyam. Shrotriyam means one who has heard Shruti properly. Shrotriyam. One who has heard the Vedas properly from the right source. First qualification. Secondly, Avrajino Akamahatoyo Brahmavitamaha. That he has no desire inside. Complete, all desires have gone away from inside. If any desires are inside, any kind of material desires particularly, then we will say, oh no, I don't have any material, I only got spiritual desires, we will say. But that's where the problem comes. So material desires are, we give a coating to it as make it spiritual. And make a spiritual desire. Desire is there, you can't do anything about it. Man has got the desire. As I gave you the example before, if you make a person a sannyasi, and if he has the vasana inside to build a 5-star hotel, and if you make him a sannyasi, what will you do? He'll build a 5-star ashram. That will be the result of that, isn't it? Why? The vasana is there inside. He needs that fulfillment. So what he will do? He will say, look, I'm doing a spiritual activity. I'm doing a building a temple. It's a spiritual thing. And I'm so attached to Krishna. That's why I'm doing it. But it's not that. It's not that it's coming from that attachment to Krishna. What it is that vasana inside is so strong. You cannot break it, stop it. And it will come out in some form. And that will manifest in. Therefore it says, akamaha. That he says here, akamahatoya, that he has to be free from desires inside. Plus, brahmavitamaha, he should be, at least Brahman realization must have happened in him. Brahman realization must have happened in him. Then it says, brahmani uparadaha shandaha, that he must be realized in such a way, shandi must be there all the time. If he is also very excited and very emotional about everything, sometimes people say like that, isn't it? Oh, Shandi, that's not for us. Shandi is all for the others. We are always in the top, on the most excited situation. No. Brahman Yubarada Shandho. That Shandi is his qualification because Shandi comes from the soul. Shandi comes from the soul. Other things are coming from the mind. It will come from the mind. So those things are not given importance. What one experiences in his mind. So Brahman Yubarada Shanto Nirindhana Ivanala, he says. He is a personality who inside him Nirindhana Ivanala, that the fuel is run out. That means all the vasanas have gone away from him. Only if all the vasanas have been gone away from a person like that, Nirindhana Ivanala, only in that stage that he should talk about it. He should talk about the Bhagavadam or Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise this problem will come. Shrotriyo avrajino akamahato yo brahmavitamaha brahmanyubirada akhaidugadaya sindhu vendur anamatam sadam haiduki daya sindhu. And that personality should be haiduki daya sindhu. He should have such an intense feeling for others, karunyam, mercy for, feeling of mercy for others. Ahaiduki daya sindhu. Then Brahman Nirindhana Ivanala. All the vasanas are like a gas cylinder. If all the gas is run out, then there is no chance of catching fire. Isn't it? It's empty cylinder. Similarly, if all the vasanas have gone away from inside, then there is no possibility of him getting affected by it, anything. He is so peaceful inside, realization has happened, and it is total peace with the world. Such a person, they say, this is the standard for talking about that. So, he says there, otherwise, to talk about Upanishads, Atmavidya, knowledge of the self, he is not qualified. He is not qualified. Because if there is a slight trace of selfishness, or if there is a very strong, some vasana inside still left behind, or if he has some desire for something to get from the world, if it is still there, that bhala kamana, that desire will manifest in some form, and still if he has that papa vasana, any kind of sinful reactions inside, all of that will come directly or indirectly, it will come through his words, and it will affect the people who are hearing this. You see, it will come through him, through his words, and it will affect those who are hearing that. You can't help it. It will come through that. So, therefore, they set this standard that one should only accept in that way, that these qualifications, they have set it up. so that the purity is not lost somehow or the other. Otherwise, in the you can see that right now, isn't it? All the time in this world, how you can hold such a glorious message of the Upanishads, how that's fallen into the hands of so many people who have interpreted in so many different ways, and so many people got lost in that process. So, in this particular aspect, the sages were very, very much alert about the Jagrata. They are very alert about that. And that is why it says there in that 7th verse, Yabir bhudhani vidyande bhudhanam adhayastada yatha prakriti sarvesham chitravaja sravandihi. And in the next verse he says, Evam prakriti vaichirtryal vidyande madayo nirnam parambaryenakeshanchil pakhandamadayo apare. Evam prakriti vaichitryal vidyande madayo nirnam. He says there, because of this vaijitrayam, this diversity in the prakriti or the nature of the people, evam prakriti vaijitrayal vidyande madayo nirnam, therefore different religious processes have come about in this world. Vidyande madayo nirnam parambaryena keshanjil pakandha madayo apare. Some others have gone in a totally different direction. Pakandhamadam. Pakandham means atheist kind of nature has come about in them. And matayo apare. Some people have gone in that direction. Because in everyone's nature, this defect is there. And because of this diversity in the prakriti or in their vaichitrayam or sabhavam, everyone thinks in a different way. And keshanjil parambaryena pakandham adeha. Some people, parambara parambara, that means in a continuous cycle, they will, grandfather, father, son, grandson, they are all believe in their kind of religion, what they have followed. They'll say, my father followed this, I'll follow the same. Or they'll say, my grandfather, great-grandfather, they all did this, I'm also going to do the same thing. That's people are like that, isn't it? It's not based on any other understanding. Just because my ancestors have followed that process, I'll also follow the same thing. So, so for them, nothing is authority. Shastram is not authority for them. So sages, the rishis and the sages, Vedas, none of them is an authority for those people. It's not an authority for them. And so you will see there that different, you will see in the Vedic tradition alone, there are so many different groups who have trained themselves up in different parts and they have followed that according to their taste. And that's all existing still in many, many places. In some places you will see killing animals is acceptable according to their religion. That's, they'll say, if you ask them why you are doing this, they'll say, well, my parents have done that or grandparents have done that. I'm also going to follow the same thing. I'm not going to change it. In this way, they will take it. So this is where that difficulty is coming from. So, if you read them, I think in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is talking about this, that at the time when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had to deal with various kinds of cults which existed based on this principle. So many people, in all over the country you will see this, that there are so many religious groups coming from different understanding. Where it all came from is very difficult to identify their origin. Some of them will know. And they are in that process, various other religious processes have come about over a period of time. And originally, only Vedas existed. Others have all come in due course later on, whether it is modern religions. When we talk about modern religions, we are talking about Buddhism, Jainism, Christianity, Islam. All of them, they have a time limit, isn't it, when they have started. But from the point of view of Upanishad's point of view, originally there is only this knowledge existed. There was no name given to that. It was called, the knowledge was the main thing. That self-realization and based on the Upanishads. That was the criteria on which it has worked.
So it carried on like that. So, Pakhandam Adaya. And there you will see Pakhandam. So their understanding of Shastram, their understanding of religion also is different. Many of them are based on having a comfortable life in this world. Sometimes people have the experience that they are committing sinful activities in this world. So they want to wipe out their sinful reactions. For that they will take the shelter of a religious process. They have faith in that. They think that if I follow this route, I'm okay. I should be free from the reaction. So, and there are Shastram also to support all that, written by different people at different times to justify that. So after saying that, so if you ask these people, have you read Bhagavadam or have you read Ramayanam? They say, no, we have not read any of those books. So, but you can see this ignorance in us also to a large extent. It is not that only some people, we are all perfect in these things. No, it's not like that. Just like you can see, when a particular festival comes, say for example Diwali comes, days together before you will start the business of making sweets, isn't it? Jalebi, laddu, all kinds of things. And you start thinking, what has it all got to do with spiritual life? Isn't it? But it is so deep-rooted. If you say anything against it, you are in trouble. So best thing is to tolerate it. And hours and hours in the kitchen cooking these jalebis, knowing very well at the end it's going to make you sick. It's only taking you to the... create more problems for you later. You know all that. Still, knowing very well that it's all going just to satisfy the tongue. But you are given a coating to it in the name of Ramchandra returning back to Ayodhya. So there also it's abuse only, nothing but abuse. That saying that Ramchandra has returned back to Ayodhya after killing Ravana, so I have to need all these sweets for me because of that. Is it not? This is called, in Shastram, the word is called avidya. This is avidya. This is avidya in us. Our ignorance of the things. Because in the same way, religion also is followed by people in different ways. They will find some excuse to gratify the senses using the religion and spiritual life, isn't it? It's not based on knowledge. It's based on the avidya inside. I want to enjoy. It's an opportunity to enjoy. So let me take full advantage of that. It's not only Diwali. In every state you go, there's festival for that. And for all those festivals, this is the only thing going on. Eating. Continuously eating. Cooking, eating. And basically in spiritual life, what do you need? You need something to eat and a place to sleep. That's all. Instead of minimizing the demands for the body, we make it a big festival. And giving a coating to it, it's very spiritual. Totally spiritual. Why? Because it's gratifying my tongue. So therefore it's very spiritual. It gives a covering to that in that way. In the similar, that is avidya. That is called avidya. That means we feel that it's necessary to have all these things for my self-realization. For the self-realization. That's why it says that. And similarly, that ultimately all these things, you know, that laddu, jalebi, if it goes beyond the limit, even if somebody has got diabetes, he comes on that day, he'll say, oh, today it's okay, you can have it. It's prasadam, have it. You won't show any consideration to that person. He has to go run to the doctor after the next minute. Doesn't matter. We are all together in it, isn't it? So this is the way the whole thing gets, that avidya works. That we are convinced about it, that we are very religious people, and therefore we make everybody religious in this way. And that day, he is also, desire is there inside to eat sweets, yeah? So he comes to your house on that particular day, visits you. You have to give him the sweets. And if he says, no, I can't touch the icon, and you have to eat that in front of him, so it's also difficult. So then you say, today you can have it. Don't worry about it, anything else. But the next day, he is back at the hospital. His wife will be worried, but what's going to happen to him next day? He'll be at the hospital. So this is how that system works. Similarly, that not only diabetes, many other foodstuff also causes like this in the mind, anger, lust, greed, and things, desires. Therefore, all these things are created inside. And
while even sleeping at night, in the dream comes on. Tomorrow is Diwali. I'm going to have a great time tomorrow. And all these dreams also develops around that. Whether it is Ram Navami, Janmashtami, all these times. These things kind of things can happen. Ram Navami and Janmashtami, we are supposed to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, not anything else. That's what is expected of us. And chant the holy name. But instead, we think, this is the mother of the feast is coming now. We gave a title to it. Mother of the feast. Is tomorrow Prabhupada's appearance day. Mother of the feast. Anyway, so that is the way the religion works. That's the way religion will work. Whether we are self-realized or not, that's not important. But we should have the feast. That's more important than anything else. So, and we'll create and... Who has told us that it should be like that? Which Shastram is telling us in that way? So, if you start asking that question, they'll tell you, you shut up now. Don't ask this question, all these questions. Because, for parampara, this is how we have done in the past. That'll be the answer. If you ask the question, is this the right way to celebrate any festival? If you ask that, they'll say, why are you asking that question? I mean, this is how in all other temples it was done in the past. This is what Prabhupada has done it. This is what somebody else has done it. We will give all excuses like that. There will be some reason behind it. So, who is the authority now? They have become the authority. Those who are saying that, they have become the authority. So, that is what is called Pakandhamathaya. That word Krishna uses there, Pakandhamathaya. See, Pakandhamatham is that. Pakandha means doing things according to your needs. What you think is right. Parambaryana keshanjil pakandamathayo apare. Krishna says there. Isn't it? In the 8th verse, if you look, evam prakriti vaichitriyal vidhyande madayo nranam parambaryana keshanjil pakandamathayo apare. Pakandamathayo apare. This pakandam has come from that. Pakandam nature has come from that. So, even those who are very following a good, living a good life without committing much sinful life, in other words, living a practically reasonably good life in this world without giving trouble to others and following these regulative principles and all that, even among them, this Pakhandamatham will be there, that you can't take it away from there. Because many of their habits and many of their rituals, what they follow, will have this defect in that. Will have this defect in that. Anything that does not develop bhakti, anything that does not develop knowledge, anything that does not develop renunciation, bhakti, jnana, vairagyam, all of them is pakhandam. All of them is pakhandam. Sometimes, when there is a nice festival day, we will eat so much, so the next 1 or 2 days you can't eat. Get sick. And you feel comfortable. Why? Because you think that you had the Janmashtami feast, which was so much eaten, and then you got so sick that you couldn't eat anymore for a few days. You were so sick. So what do you do now? Now, do you think that that is what Bhagavatam is talking to us? No, Bhagavatam is not saying that to us. That's not what it is mentioned. So, this Pakhandam, what it does is, it will create some defect in the intelligence, in the way of thinking. It will create a disease in the body. And some instances, it will give pain to other living entities. And it will take away the peace from inside. Shanti will go away. All these are the defects of that process. And parambara, or in a disciplic succession, it will come. Not disciplic succession, in succession, in the family succession, it will come in that way. Krishna talks about all that. So, people who preach these things, they will be there in this world all times. They are present in this world. So, when a living being, out of experiencing all this, develops some discrimination from this whole situation, and able to escape himself, and free himself from that, at some point, at that point, if he has come to understand the importance of spiritual self-realization and his mind is withdrawing from all the other nonsensical religious processes and able to get fixed on the truth with the goal of realizing the self, at that point, he will find interesting to he will come to the sampradaya or to the for parampara system of which is Rishi Proktam. Rishi Proktam means it has come from the sages. That parampara system they will accept. They will come to that. So this is how that things happen. So in other words, Apta Proktam. Apta Proktam means from the realized soul. And what is that? Upanishad Dharmam. The Dharmam that was spoken through Upanishads alone is acceptable. Nothing else is acceptable for those people who come to that stage. That means, after living in all these different states of life, as I mentioned before, some people follow very different kinds of religious processes. And even among those who are following the regulative principles and all, you will find this ignorance in them deeply there, still there. And after all that, experiencing all that, at some point in time, they'll come to realize that, am I properly situated? Am I doing the right thing? This question will come up in front of them. It is at that point their inquiry comes to Upanishads. Their inquiry comes to Upanishads. I mentioned before, while we talked about Ishavasupanishad, isn't it? Ishavasupanishad. That if you are not ready for it, don't come. That's their point. If you're not ready for it, don't come. Finish your all other desires and then come for it. Otherwise it won't happen. It will not happen. So that's why Upanishad Dharma. So, or in other words, also called Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma. Alone there is peace. Upanishad Dharma. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this in a nice way in the 12th chapter. If you take it to the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there, Yedu Dharmyamradamidam Yathoktam Parivasade Shraddhadanamal Paraya Bhaktaste Divame Priyaha. Krishna says, Yedu Dharmyamradam. Dharmyamradam means the nectar of all dharmam. The nectar of all dharmam. There are so many dharmam in this world. What is the real nectar? Yedu dharmyamadam idam. Yedoktam paribhasade. Krishna says that one who follows this dharmyamadam, what he has spoken in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that is dharmyamadam. The nectar of bhakti. Pure bhakti, what Krishna is talking about. Isn't it? That bhakti, what Krishna has spoken there, yedoktam paribhasade, shraddhana malparayam. That if you had followed that with Shraddha, Shraddha what we talked about, isn't it? What Shraddha means? Shraddha means what? Shraddha means Shastrasya Guru Vakyasya Satya Buddhyava Dharana Sa Shraddha. That means one has accepted the injunction of the Upanishad, Shastram. And in the words of a spiritual master, Shastrasya Guru Vakyasya Satya Buddhyava Dharana. That is satyam. Everything else is lie. Everything else is lie. No other acceptance of truth from anywhere else. Shastrasya, Guru Vakyasya, Satya Buddhyava Dharana, Sa Shraddha. That is Shraddha. And that Shraddha has happened to him. And he says here, and the dharmam, what is spoken like that, is very, very subtle. Sushmam is very, very subtle. And in order to show that is what Krishna is trying to talk about now. Krishna is going to talk about that now. That dharmam, what one has to receive in that particular way, that this dharmam what we are following now, based on our sense enjoyment, gratifying the senses, dovetailing, all these things what we are doing now, is concessions on that. Based on our understanding, our pragrati, our gunam, the gunams what is inside us, our rajogunam, our tamogunam, based on that we are executing our activities in this world, isn't it? So, just like we may think that, oh, everyone who is only eating the feast, who is only taking the prasad, that's not the one who is going to realize the self. That also has to be understood. That it is this realization coming to a person that Krishna says there, Rajasthama Prakritayaha. If you accept that, Rajasthama Tamasa is in everybody. To some degree it will be there. So naturally we will shift our attention to enjoyment according to the degree of Rajasa or Tamasa inside. Whereas one who is in excessive Sattvagunam and one who has that effect on him will be that austerity, purity, simplicity, no desire for enjoying senses. All this would have left him by then. and completely fixed on the Shastram and following it through, not allowing for any kind of distraction from the in other directions. These are the nature of the Sattugunam. Rajogunam means that wants to make a big show of everything and just to convince the world that what all he has done in this world, that Krishna talks about that, isn't it? In the Kapilam, you will see Kapila Maharshi says to the Ahudi Devi, and similarly Krishna also talks about that. Whereas in Tamogunam, it is simply enjoying and suffering and suffering and suffering after that. He will go and enjoy uncontrolled and then will suffer from that. So this is the nature what Krishna says there. So let's go look back into again. Uddhava asking this question, Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam. In the first verse, Tesham Vigalpa Pradhani Mrudaho Ega Mukhyadaha Bhavato Dahrda Swamin Bhakti Yogo Anavekshidaha Nirasya Sarvada Sangam Yenato Yavishen Manaham. Then Veda Pramanam Brahmavadino Vadandi. Veda Samhita. In the Samhita portion of the Vedas, it will come. This is the first verse in the chapter. So, all Brahmavadi, everybody is Brahmavadi. And for them, the authority is Veda. Authority is Veda. So, sages who are Brahmavadis, therefore they have, when they started explaining the meaning of the Vedas, different ways they have explained it. They have explained it. Now, if you look into Mahabharatam, there is a beautiful statement about this. Mahabharatam, what happened was, Yudhishthira Maharaj was very much fond of Dharma, isn't it? You know, one of his name is Dharmaputra. He's given the name as Dharmaputra. Because he is Dharmaputra, he was fond of Dharma. He says here that this Dharma is a very complex subject. Very, very complex subject. Just like the Vedic hymns, how to understand them is very difficult. Same way, Dharmam is also very difficult, isn't it? That is why Mahabharatam came into existence. Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Mahabharatam to explain Dharmam. So there it says, Tarka Pradishta Shudayo Vibhinna Naso Rishir Yasya Mathamna Bhinnam Dharmasya Tattvam Nihidam Guhaya Mahajano Yena Gathasa Pantha. This verse comes in the Bhagavadam also. That is in the Mahabharatam. What it means is, although they are all Brahmavadis, they are all sages, there is Tarkam, argument also there. Tarka Pradeshta. Shrutayo Vibhinnaha. That Shruti, when they start interpreting, different meanings will come from that. Shrutayo Vibhinnaha. Tarka Pradeshta Shrutayo Vibhinna. Nasau Rishir Yasya Mathamna Bhinnam. And although they are great sages, great personalities, when they have interpreted, there is difference of opinion. There is difference of opinion. Just like now we have Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishta Advaitam, Veda Vedam. So many different philosophers, Acharyas have given different interpretations, isn't it? In these times also. Similarly, in sages also, when they propagated means when they have explained the meaning of the Vedas, so confidential is this Dharma. That is the difficulty here. That Tarka Pradishta Shudayo Vibhinnam Nasau Rishir Yasya Madam Nabhinnam. There is differences there also. So what should we do if it is like that? That is the question, isn't it? It's a very big question. When there is Upanishads, on Upanishads commentary, there is difference of opinion among the sages. There is differences. Same 10 Upanishads Shankaracharya commented, Ramanujacharya also commended, Madhvacharya also commended the same 10 Upanishads, and they have different opinions from the same Upanishads. What to do? So this is the question. This is what we have to understand, how this all happened and what one should do. So in conclusion to this, Vedavyasa Maharshi says in Mahabharatam, Tarka Pratishta Shudayo Vibhinna Nasau Rishir Yasya Matamna Bhinnam. That means difference of opinion will exist. And the reason for that, there is a difference in the modes of nature in everybody when they see the truth. Whether the way Shankaracharya saw the truth is different when the way Ramanujacharya has seen the truth. Which is again different for Madhvacharya has seen the truth in a different way, from a different angle they are seeing that truth. Truth is one, but the way from place where you see, that means in the what modes of nature is present in you, at that particular time when you are seeing the truth, that will have its effect in the conclusions also. Then what is the answer? That is more important. He says, Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gadasa pantha. That the tattvam of all these things is inside this cave. Inside. Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam. He is hiding there, that tattvam. Who? Krishna is hiding inside this cave, inside us, isn't it? And that is Tene Brahma Hridaya. That Hridayam inside where Krishna is hiding. So he says here, Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam. He alone can guide that person in the direction. So all these different philosophies that exist in this world, what we have seen through Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, all other philosophies, they all are, you have to remember, they are all from the platform of intelligence. They are all from the platform of intelligence. According to the level of intelligence, they are explaining that to us, the Shastram. So if you understand it that way, there is no confusion. Intelligence will have an effect on them, on their conclusions also. So, Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajanau yena gadasapanda. Here is the important question. We have to understand the nature of intelligence, because that is the way intelligence works. Intelligence works that way. You cannot take intelligence as an authority in any situation. You cannot take it as an exponent, because it cannot stay in one place permanently. Intelligence cannot stay one personally. That is what he says here. Apradishta shrutayo vibhinnaha. So Shruti or Vedas will say, everybody is feeling in a different frame from the Vedas. Naso rishir yasya matam pramanam. So if you keep asking the question, whether Shankaracharya was right, or Ramanuja was right, or Madhvacharya was right, or Vishnu Swami was right, or Nimbarkacharya was right, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was right, the answer is difficult to say. Because they are all seeing the truth, and they are presenting it according to that way they have accepted. Now, the important thing is, our duty is not to find out what is the truth. That is not our business. That is not what is expected. What is expected of us is, what is the impact of all this philosophy on us? That's more important. Anything, any philosophy, that is why all paramparas are accepted. All parampara, we say so many disciplic successions. All disciplic successions, people are following. They are following in all disciplic successions. You can't go and tell them that only my parampara is right, all your parampara is all bogus. If you tell them, then he'll say, you're also bogus, they'll say. That's what the answer will be, straight away, isn't it? It's not possible. You can't denigrate anybody, or you can't, completely write them off like that. That's not possible. But all these different acharyas have given different paramparas. Each parampara, if you want to follow and find out which parampara has its highest effect on you, that is more important. You don't have to verify who is right. You are not qualified, I'm not qualified, none of us are qualified to find out, because they have, according to that particular time and the need, they had to present it in that way, the truth. There is a reason behind it. So you won't know that, I won't know that, what that is. But principle behind that is this. Naso rishir yasya madham na binnam. So we are analyzing them with our intelligence. That's what we are doing, isn't it? So, all of them are looking at the Vedas from different positions, and depending on what state you are present, in spiritual life, accordingly, you will find a spiritual master, you will find a particular process of spiritual life, and he will get it. That's how it is. According to where you stand, you will get that kind of spiritual master and that kind of process also in the same way. So, and he will continue his spiritual life in that way. He will continue his spiritual life in that way. So, so from this, what you have to know is this, that from the Shastram, the important thing is Nihidam Guhayam. Krishna is present inside. He is the greatest authority. Whatever impact the process has got, that is important for you. That's all it is. For example, suppose you have found the process of chanting the holy name as the process that is giving you that strength in spiritual life, then that process is the right process for you. That process is the right process for you. You shouldn't have no doubts about that. If by chanting the holy name, you are feeling that spiritual realizations coming from that, provided we chant properly, there we can't change the... When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinarabhi Shunijana Tarorabhi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, it must be like that, not otherwise. If it is followed in that way, the result will come for that person in that way. If he is vasanas are in that way, and if his propensities are in that way, he will feel the effect of that. But one who has a completely different frame of mind, who cannot perform japam, who cannot chant, there are people like that. They will take 20 years to start one round. There are people like that, isn't it? After 20 years, I have chanted one round today with the great happiness. And that too will be a lot of resistance inside, because he's not at all having any attraction towards that. For such people, what is the answer? Maybe they may have to think, what suits me? Because sometimes you can never say, knowing ourselves is more important than knowing what is in the Shastram. Because the decision is made inside here. Somebody is making the decision there, isn't it? So that is why Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, that if you look into later on, in a chapter we will say, that Uddhava, I can only generally tell you these things. Generally I can tell you that those who are very attached, they should follow the process of Karma Yoga. Those who are completely renounced and detached from this world, for example, people when they have experienced a lot of distress in this world, they won't have any attraction for all your festivals and feasts and all that. Isn't it? They've already come to that state that all this is all, everything in this world has gone against them. And what will happen? Intense vairagyam will develop inside, renunciation inside. For certain personalities like that, probably bhakti yogam will not be an attractive proposal. They will not be attracted by bhakti. On the other hand, that intense vairagyam will help them to take, their shraddha will be so good in the process of knowledge, they will take to jnanamargam. So that is why Krishna says there, those who are very attached of working in this world, making money, enjoying life, and at the same time they want to become success in spiritual life also, for them Krishna says, let them follow the Karma Yoga process. Those who are completely detached from this world, who have no attraction for any kind of senses, enjoyment in this world, or any attraction towards anything in this world, practically completely free from all, let them follow the process of jnanam. And neither this nor that, which is the majority, 99% in this world, isn't it? We know very well that all these life, what we are working so hard and trying to maintain this family life and try to do so many things in this world and want to do all that because renunciation hasn't come enough inside. On the other hand, somebody is telling from inside, it's all bogus anyway. This is our situation. Most of us are in that boat, isn't it? For them, Krishna says, Bhakti Yoga will be the best. So this is how it is decided. It is Adhikari Bhedatvam. Adhikaritvam is important. It is not like in other religions that there is one process for everyone. It's not given like that. This is actually the responsibility of the teacher, of the guru, to see what is the vasana in a person, where does he stand in spiritual life. So that's why it says here, that Nihidam Guhayam, because the secret is, Krishna says here, it is in the Hridaya Guha, in that cave inside. It is there that decision is made, which process is to be taken. Do you understand? So, decision making is not based on which shastram is there. Decision making is done inside. Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gadasapandhaha. All mahajanam have followed that process. That is why you see great personalities in all traditions. This is the reason behind it. You can't say only great personalities appeared in our tradition, can you? In all Shankaracharya's tradition, there were great realized souls. Ramanuja's tradition, there were great personalities realized. Madhvacharya's tradition, there were highly learned and highly realized souls. So this is there in all traditions. Why? Because that is the secret. Which shastram you are accepting, or which acharya you are following, that is not the most important thing. Important thing is, what is the effect of the shastram on me? Or what is the effect of that acharya on me? That is more important. This is how spiritual life decisions are made. Whereas normally our tendency is, we go, we buy all these books, whoever has sold you the books, you will take it and then read it. And then inside you are trying to make adjustments all the time. And therefore it will not last very long. Sometimes it stays, sometimes it goes. Because dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam, that decision is made in this guha, in this cave inside. Who is accepting that? You have to go back to the person who is accepting this, isn't it? So all kinds of things are present in this world today. You go and ask every institution, they'll tell you, ours is the process. That's the only one which is right. This is the only thing that will work. One will say one way, another one will say another way. And then eventually you will collect all the books, CDs, cassettes, videos, everything. And then life will go on like this, watching these videos and CDs. And no conclusion at the end. No conclusion at the end. And even the same institution, 10 gurus will speak in 10 different ways. So then you start ragadvesham inside, you'll start liking, I like his guru, I don't like that person. Ragadvesham has come there already. So how do you know you are in the right track? And then after a while, sometimes what happens is you start thinking, oh, he didn't speak properly, I don't think he is rightly situated. Then you leave him and go another one. So all these crises is happening in everyone's life, every minute. It's happening there in all our life. And the only solution to that is this, dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam, that inside, Krishna accepts that from inside. This is the process for me, wait till then. There's no need to rush and jump into it something. And take all the processes and find that is what is really uplifting a person in his spiritual life, that one has to find oneself. So we'll stop there. We'll continue next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Just one quick announcement. Unfortunately, Sitaram Prabhu or Shruti Dhamma can't make it this week, but they'll definitely come next week due to the prior meetings that they have. So the meeting will happen next week. Thank you.
We'll have a class this week.
We're having next week. Yes, next week. After the class. After the class.
ആ തിരുമേനി അങ്ങനെയാ ഒക്കെ സമയം എടുക്കല്ലേ.
So it says 930 someone 3. Yeah.
If I'm not coming,
I will give
you that. Okay. Yeah,